Hello and welcome to the free food and medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. We are 1 minute from calling Blog Talk Radio. And now it's time to call Blog Talk Radio. So give me a minute. Once I figure out my phone works. Not really, it's just acting weird. Bear with me for a second or a minute while I dial in.
Three, two, one. Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is. Even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plant for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions, you can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants, garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I'm empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are pili nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing.
You don't mean that.
No, that's just our new catchphrase. So, real quick, which look up in a book which one helps to repair DNA?
Oh, God. Yeah, real quick. Yeah. So you got the answer?
I do.
Okay, which one is it?
Well, one I can't pronounce, but the other two I can.
Well, okay, if you give me the... Well, I can't really read the dark, so it doesn't matter if you give me the page.
Cat's Claw. Watercress?
Wow, that's even an easy one to grow. Okay.
And the last one is Gioguline.
Okay, so you can't pronounce it.
It's Jioguline.
Right. What page is that on?
That's a good question. I have to look it up. Anyways, we'll talk about that next week.
Really?
What? We're talking about egg fruit this week.
I know. Keep talking about.
No, we might talk about the week after next, or the week after the week after the week after the week after next.
We keep talking about all these foreign plants that, which actually I think we can actually grow. By the way, that's on page 136. We can actually grow the egg fruit in the greenhouse. Can't let it get below 40 degrees. So you can grow it as a potted plant. And you know, depending on the size of the plant that you got, you can typically get fruit from it on the first or second year. So I assume
yeah.
that longer if you're growing it from seed.
So you can grow it indoors, or you can grow it in, like, California, Florida, places like that.
Florida, you might, California, you might get away with it for a while. It occasionally gets below freezing in the San Francisco Bay Area. Occasionally.
Southern California.
Southern California, you'd probably get away with it.
There is a fruit that I want to talk about next week that I discovered, actually, while we were talking about this fruit, or while I was doing research on this fruit. It is a fruit, or it's a berry, that is a cross between a raspberry and a blackberry, and we can grow it in the Midwest.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I forgot the name of it now, but I gotta look it up again, which I'm sure I'll find it because I'll look for it. But that's what I wanted to talk about next week. But we can squeeze that or this other one in, the DNA one, between now and then. You might have to listen to our extended podcast in order to get more information on those. But anyways, yeah, this
apparently
week,
it grows in your immortality herb. The one that you were trying to pronounce, and I'm not going to try myself. Apparently, it grows in China. There's lots of areas in China that you can bring it over here and grow.
Exactly. As long as it's just look up the zones. If it's the same zone temperature, then there's a good chance you can grow it in your area. The soil might be different, but all you got to do is find out what kind of soil it likes and recreate that type of soil.
Well, now that we've spent almost half our time talking about something other than egg fruit.
This is true.
Sorry.
Now, I did not get a whole lot of information on egg fruit, but I did find some useful information. This one in particular is my favorite. when we started talking about it last week, I was under the impression that it had an egg taste and it was an egg substitute for vegans because someone had said something to that nature. Not David, but in my research. In our research of the other fruit that we talked about last week, which was the chay fruit. In my research this week, I found out that it does not taste like egg. It wouldn't really make an egg substitute for vegans. However, it does have the texture of egg, but it doesn't have the flavor of egg. It has the texture of the hard-boiled egg yolk, but it does not taste like a hard-boiled egg yolk. It tastes very fruity, and everybody says it's wonderful and delicious. So I'm going to have to try one of these days.
I did find a reference that said it tastes like egg custard, which is
maybe
the closest,
that's what
the closest to tasting like egg I've found. Not exactly fruity, but, you know, not, it would be a sweet thing, not an eggy thing.
Well, that's one thing that I also learned. If it's imported, so if they pick it early and they ship it somewhere, then it might have more of an egg type flavor because it won't be ripe and it'll be more bland.
For anybody's interest, another common name for it, and I'm going to spell it, and then I'll attempt to pronounce it. It's C-A-N-I-S-T-E-L. Canistel? Canistel?
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
I think it's Canistel.
That seems to be Canistel. That sounds best. That's one of the very common names that keeps coming up every time I look it up. I think egg fruit's just, you know, kind of.
Actually, according to this website, there are about a dozen or more scientific names for it. Canistel is just one of them.
Right.
According to this website, basically all, pretty much all parts of the plant are edible or used for medicinal purposes. The bark, the seed, and the fruit itself. Primarily, it says the fruit is edible, best when fully ripe and easily peelable. It's high in vitamin C, high in niacin, high in carotenes. Great for making milkshakes, jams, jellies, marmalades, and flavoring for ice cream. It's antioxidant. It's polyphenolic. Has polyphenolics, which is an antioxidant. Good for dermatitis. Good for antibacterial. The bark is used for immune disorders. Again, an antibacterial. Detox. Anti-inflammatory. And I think that's about it. What do you got?
I'm looking at what Rothkranz has to say about it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even really look at that. Go ahead, read what Rothkranz has to say from the Free Food and Medicine book.
Well, as far as its uses, uses an anti-cancer, anti-tumor, antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antibacterial, and for candida, E. coli, etc. Tree is okay down to almost freezing, but not below. So, yeah, again, when it gets down to about, if you think it's going to get to 40 degrees or below, you bring your plant indoors. It's got vitamin A, vitamin C, niacin, selenium, calcium, I'm sorry, not selenium, calcium, iron, phosphorus. This, yeah. Can be used in custards, smoothies, or just eaten raw. apparently is popular in Mexico, Florida, and Taiwan. Sorry, folks. I was looking down, so you probably couldn't hear me clearly. And that's pretty much about all he added. And he has this is on page 284, and he has it under Canistel. And if that's not the correct pronunciation, hey, please call in and correct us anytime. Even 2 years from now, tell us, you know, hey, that plant is
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, tell us how to pronounce it.
It
or anything
here
else you might know about it.
It says here it's also good for strengthening muscles, improving cognition and brain health.
Right. So I need that.
It also reduces the risk for hypertension. lowers the risk of diabetes, improves health of joints and cartilage. Oh, yeah, that was another thing I learned earlier, too. It's good for the blood. It's good for the bones. And something else I forgot. The immune system, because it just says here, immune booster. It's immune system booster. Relieves constipation, which pretty much any fruit or berry will relieve constipation. Especially yeah, if it's probably high in vitamin C.
Oh, well, yes, that too.
Let's see here. A natural antimicrobial.
Microbial.
Yeah, it's a natural antimicrobial.
Yep, kills those microbes. Bacteria including.
Yeah.
Kills viruses too.
Yeah, it also says it's anti-HIV.
Well, that'd be a virus.
Yep. Good for cancer. High in niacin, high in iron. Carotenes, vitamin A. Fruit bark and seeds are edible, are ingestible. Let's see here. Oh, it's also good for insomnia, depression, ulcers, fevers, skin disorders. And the heart. Oh, hair, skin, and nails. Oh, good for the eyes. That was the other thing I was talking about earlier. It's good for the eyes. Which would
so
make sense.
So it's not a superfood. It's pretty darn close.
They call it a superfood, actually.
There you go. Yeah, because as many areas as it's covered, you know, so apparently it has more vitamins and nutrients than they've got listed in a lot of the deals. I mean, that's pretty much what makes it a superfood. It's full of nutrients, you know. It's full, how can I say it? It has more nutrients than your average food by far. And that's where your superfoods come in. They typically will cure cancer because, for the most part, there are exceptions, but for the most part, cancer is malnutrition. And when you find... Go ahead.
Most diseases are a nutritional deficiency. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and cancer is just the most severe nutritional deficient disease that you can get. And you find a food that has a shotgun of nutrition in it, like, you know, like this egg fruit, canistil.
Which tastes a whole lot better than hedge apples.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, everything tastes a whole hell lot better than hedge apples. except maybe death.
Except for maybe chemo.
Except maybe chemo. Yeah, chemo it tastes worse than hedge apples. As we've been told by a few people who've gone through chemo. Yeah, but you know, you find a food that's so full of nutrients that it's a shotgun of nutrients. It pretty well doesn't matter what cancer you got. It's got so many nutrients that it'll take care of it. You know, if you need iodine, it's got iodine. If you need more calcium, it's got calcium. If you need, and most people don't have that problem unless they have osteoporosis. But, you know, actually, I could be wrong about that. But anyway, calcium is a little bit more available than some of the other nutrients that we tend to lack.
Calcium is usually good. Well, is obviously good for bone health, but primarily for women, it also helps with the menstrual cycle and menopause. Obviously, birthing, because you need more calcium for the baby, but calcium will reduce the intenseness of the menstrual cycle, therefore making women less irritable, and will also do the same for menopause.
So you're saying that
calcium is a PMS cure.
So if you got PMS, go suck on a piece of limestone.
Something like that.
No, no, no. But that's, you got to watch it, because a lot of your mineral supplements, that's exactly what they're giving you. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. You want to eat plant
look for minerals. you need plant-based calcium as opposed
right.
to mineral-based calcium. Very few humans can handle rocks. That's why God put plants on this world, because they handle the rocks and turn them into organic minerals. And that's what you want.
Pretty
you
much.
Want the organic minerals.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I was just joking when I was saying, you know, go suck on a piece of limestone.
Well, that would work, but you would have to suck on a lot of it, because you only get like 3-5%.
Right, and you'd probably wear your teeth down doing it. So,
pretty much.
Which would be a good source of organic calcium, but...
yeah.
After you've worn your teeth down nothing, there's no more to get. So...
yep.
Yeah, so... actually, you know, bone broth would probably be a good one. But that's getting away from our subject.
Jackfruit.
Yeah, is that related? Is it a distant
no.
relative?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Egg fruit. Canistel.
Yep, I'll go with canistel until somebody corrects me.
Yeah.
I've got stuff on how to propagate it.
It's good for energy, high in vitamin B's, helps control blood sugar levels. What do you got?
On growing it?
Yeah. You got 3 minutes.
Well, in 3 minutes, I'll tell you, maybe I'll read this article after the podcast.
Alrighty.
But basically, so, keep it indoors when it gets below 40 degrees. Buy from a reputable source. Grows fast.
Yeah, before when I was doing like YouTubes and stuff, basically the only thing I can get on it was how to grow
90
it.
90 seconds.
And how good it tastes. And where to grow it. So I had to, you know, do some other research to get information, other information on it. But nonetheless, we're about out of time. So I'm now finally getting around to working on the freefoodandmedicine.org website. So soon enough, you'll be able to go there and listen to the rest of the story. Meanwhile,
60 seconds.
We will continue this podcast for another 30 minutes. And when I do get it uploaded, you can listen to the rest of it at freefoodandmedicine.org. Meanwhile, I don't know. I guess we'll talk to you later.
On the other side.
We'll see you on the other side.
Which is 3, 2, 1.
All right, what's your growing deal?
Okay, so I got this from gardeningknowhow.com. And it asks, what is canisteel? A guide to growing egg fruit tree at home. Trees at home. And it's, you know, and it shows a picture of them. They actually look sort of like squash in the pictures when they open them. I wanted to believe that they were related to persimmons because of the look of the seeds and the color of the inner fruit and stuff like that. And, you know, according to their family tree of plants and such, you go back far enough, everything's related. But
well, yeah, it's more related to the mango. Oh, not mango. No, they compare it a lot to the avocado.
Avocado.
I don't think it's in the avocado family, but they compare it a lot to the avocado.
Okay. Well.
But
all
it does
right.
have two big seeds in it.
Oh, two seeds per fruit?
I believe so.
Yeah, because the pictures I saw, it looks sort of like a persimmon seed, but yeah, not so much. Okay. So, one of the most interesting aspects of planting and growing fruit in home garden is the wide array of available options. While it is true that many common fruits are offered commercially and are easily found in the grocery stores, accessibility to rare and hard to find fruits is an exciting endeavor. As orchards expand, fresh fruit harvests often offer growers a wide array of choices as well as a diverse landscape. This is especially true in the case of some tender tropical plants such as canisteel fruit trees. That's one thing I found in another website is they said it's not really commercially viable as a fruit to grow. Because like you said, if they pick it green so they can ship it, it doesn't taste right.
Right. Yeah, you got to grow it locally.
And it'd almost have to be a pick your own thing. Where
pretty
somebody
much.
Came and picked their own fruit. Because pretty much you have to eat it right after you pick it. You know, you'd have to take it home that afternoon and eat it that evening.
Well, at least that week, yeah.
Yeah, maybe, because they talked about it actually rotting pretty quick.
Well, yeah, you want to wait until the skin starts to crack and peel. That's when it is at its peak. That's when it's at its best.
All right. Okay, now it asks the question, what is canisteel? And we kind of answered this already, but I'll go ahead and read it. Canisteel, and it gives the scientific name, which I'm going to skip over, commonly known as egg fruit, is a tropical fruit tree. Though the size and shape of the fruit can vary greatly from one tree to another, the most favorable trees produce large, sweet, yellow fruits with an oval shape, having been most commonly compared to the texture of hard-boiled eggs, hence the common name. The roundish fruits are popular for their use in dairy recipes and other baked treats. Let's see now, how to grow egg fruit. Canisteel tree care is relatively straightforward for those wishing to grow this fruit. Thriving in tropical climates, egg fruit trees are widely adaptable to a variety of soils, including those which are sandy. Growers within a frost-free climate are also able to grow canisteel. Due to its fast-growing nature, egg fruit trees are ideal candidates for container culture. Growing egg fruit in this manner means protecting trees from the frost and cool temperatures. Potted plants should be moved indoors when temperatures are predicted to dip below 40 degrees. Depending on where you live, it may be difficult to find canna steel trees at local plant nurseries and garden centers. If choosing to order plants online, always make certain to order only from reputable sources as to ensure high quality and disease-free fruit saplings. Okay, it's almost done. To plant, to select well-draining location that receives direct sunlight. Well-drained soil is essential, as these trees can be prone to root rot. Dig a hole or choose a container that is at least twice as wide and twice as deep as the root ball of the tree. Gently place the tree into the hole and cover with soil, water thoroughly. Depending on the age of the planted saplings, trees should begin to bear fruit within 1 to 2 years. Okay, and that's pretty much the end of this article. Some of the other things I found is somebody suggested using a technique called air layering for propagation. And basically what you do is on a hardwood tree, one of the things you can do is you make a slice in the tree, but don't cut the limb all the way off. And then you wrap that with sargassum moss, moist sargassum moss, and then wrap that in plastic, preferably clear plastic so you can see what's going on inside. And within about 2 to 3 weeks, you should see roots starting to form inside the ball. You'll want to be able to unwrap the plastic from time to time to make sure the sargassum moss is still moist. And if everything goes right, you know, in three weeks to a month, you should have a strong enough root ball that you can just cut the limb off and then stick it in a pot. So, and that's one way of propagating something like this. I've seen that done with rubber trees and various other tropical plants that people grow in their house. So that's one way of propagating them. And then, of course, you can always order some seeds online. Apparently, there's a number of people that have seeds. But from what I'm looking at, though, there's several varieties of this plant. So you'd want to find... You'd want to do some research as to what variety you want and attempt to order those seeds or saplings. So, and that's pretty much what I got. I didn't find a whole lot. I'm pretty ignorant on egg fruit.
That's all right. Most of my research was last minute research, but which, you know, is what we kind of have been doing because we're busy people. We got a lot of things going on. Wikipedia has stuff on it.
Yeah, it repeats some of the nutritional content stuff that you gave earlier.
Cool.
Gives a nice picture of it that made it look like a persimmon to me.
Right. Yeah, the yellow persimmon. let's see here. Oh, I got an audio for you. I can play that real quick.
Ah, did that give the pronunciation of Kennethill?
That's a computer-generated audio, but here we go.
So we can't trust its pronunciation.
Canastel fruit is said to have a texture similar to that of a thoroughly cooked egg yolk. The fruit has a color of orange to yellow thin skin, and the flesh is dry like a boiled egg yolk. They are usually eaten fresh and are used for cooking. Have you ever tried eating something similar to a slightly sweetened cooked egg yolk, known as the canastel fruit? devouring yourself into that ripe, yellow, egg yolk-like canistel would bring you tons of surprises. Canistel fruit health benefits are 1. A superfood. When it comes to nutrition, the fruit is loaded with various nutrients and thus considered as a superfood. It packs about 50% more energy than the banana and nearly as much protein as the avocado. Canistels are rich in carotene, B group vitamins and essential minerals. It is a low-fat fruit that provides high levels of protein and fiber and fair levels of ascorbic acid. 2. Loads of beta-carotene. Just like all the other yellow-orange fruits, canistel is a rich source of provitamin A carotenoids. These carotenoids are converted into vitamin A in the body. The fruit contains about 30 milligrams of beta-carotene in 100 g of the edible fruit and is thus beneficial for good vision and is found to be effective for the treatment of dry eyes while playing an important role in lowering the risks of cataract and age-related macular degeneration, AMD. 3. High in minerals. As the fruit contains significant levels of minerals with 100 g/mS of the edible fruit containing about 25 mg/mS of calcium and about 40 mg/mS of phosphorus, it is a natural remedy for treatment and management of arthritis. The fruit also helps in strengthening of bones in children, the elderly and those suffering from bone and joint related ailments. 4. Perfect for digestive health. Canistel is an excellent source of dietary fiber that promotes a healthy digestive system. Fiber also helps in regulating the blood glucose levels and in eliminating the bad cholesterol from the body. 5. Immune booster. The canistel fruit is a good source of vitamin C or ascorbic acid with about 60 to 100 mg/mL. The fruit is known to be an effective immune booster and is thus a useful natural remedy for treatment of flu, coughs, pneumonia, and other lung infections. 6. Has anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial properties. The fruit contains the amino acids, lysine, tryptophan, and methionine as well as flavonoids that have anti-tumor, anti-inflammatory, anti-HIV and antimicrobial effects. Other than that, the fruit is a natural remedy for clearing bacterial and fungal infections in the body when consumed regularly. So, if you are not yet a regular eater of this yellow overload, it is time for you to think of adding this nutritious and unique fruit to your diet. Aside from the canistel fruit health benefits, this egg fruit will offer you a range of basic nutrients for your optimum health. Please subscribe my channel for more latest videos. Stay tuned to Video Hub. Thank
you. All right. So basically, California is not really the ideal location for growing canistel or egg fruit. You can do it, but
it's a bit far north for it.
Yeah, more like southern California, like close to Baja, Florida. Those, you know, Florida's more tropical. Mexico is more ideal. You know, different parts of Mexico. So, you know, as close to Mexico as you can get, but not so much the desert. It needs more tropical type of an environment.
All right. So if we were to put this in our greenhouse, I'd have to put it near the heat source in the greenhouse. So it reduces chances of dropping below 40 degrees. And I remember the winter I stayed in Bill and Shirley's greenhouse, there were a series of days where I had to do everything I could to stuff wood in the fireplace in order to keep it above 40. It was
Yeah, it says that 30 degrees, it will almost kill the tree. It'll survive down to 20 degrees, but you will damage it.
Right. And so you'd have to start all over again with growing new limbs and such. But it's a fast grower.
Yeah, it's very hardy. So let's see here. It's high in protein, high in fiber, high in calcium, high in phosphorus, niacin, ascorbic acid, tryptophan, which that'll put you to sleep.
No, it's just what I need. So help me with cognition and knock me out.
Yeah. And it's also high in lysine.
Lysine.
Yeah, like L-lysine.
Oh, which helps with fighting off colds and flus and such?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, ideally, you want to grow this indoors in the winter. You can take it outside in the summer. But, yeah, you definitely want to grow it indoors. And like Marcus Rothgren said it in his audio recording, which actually was a video recording that I ripped and the audio off the video. So that's why it's like, you know, if you saw this in the wild, would you eat it? And then said it was celery. He was actually showing you a picture of it, but you couldn't tell because I didn't show you the picture.
Right.
But, yeah. But yeah, like he says, you know, people are growing food indoors now and blah, blah, blah. You know, we can grow just about anything in the world, anywhere in the world, because we have climate control opportunity, you know, capabilities now.
Right. And, you know, if people like Sepp Holzer are able to grow lemon trees at 4,500 feet above sea level in the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, but they were puny-looking lemons.
You finally found pictures of them.
Yeah.
I'm just going by what I told you. Okay.
Well, but... Yeah, he was successful, but not all that successful. He would have been more successful if he did it indoors.
He didn't have something he could turn around and sell, but he did prove a point when he did that. That's, you know, and so, you know, like this fruit, Florida would be a questionable place to grow it. But if you use techniques that create a little microclimate envelope around it, you could probably get away with growing it outdoors there. Here
right.
in Missouri, not so much. You know, we couldn't do a healthy plant outdoors. We might get away with growing one outdoors, but we wouldn't be able to grow a healthy one. So,
this fruit is also good for diabetes.
Well, you know, that's the nature of superfoods. They tend to have a shotgun effect to helping your health because they are just so chock full of, you know, they're full of nutritional bullets. You know?
Right.
It's like, you know, they don't just have a silver bullet or a platinum bullet or a copper bullet or a lead bullet. They've got all the bullets. And, you know, you shoot one of those off and whatever your nutritional deficiency is, they more than likely will hit it. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Now, there's no such thing as a quote-unquote cure-all, but you can get pretty darn close. And if one cure-all doesn't hit the spot, grab another one. Whatever the first one didn't cover, the second one probably will.
Right. You can buy a tree for about $100.
Yeah, I saw some cheaper, but still they're a bit pricey.
Yeah.
You can get the seeds for a lot cheaper. The only question is, you know, were the seeds picked 2 years ago or 10 years ago?
Yeah. How viable are they? And how good are you at growing things from seed?
Right. So, I'm actually looking at some of the relatives, too. Most of the relatives only have one seed. There's three related plants listed in Wiki.
Yeah, overall, I think it's best to pay a little extra to have a plant or a tree that's already growing, and you got a head start. Let somebody else in a greenhouse do the hard part, getting it growing.
Right, and then...
unless you're a professional, then you can do that.
Yeah, then you take the growing plant, and you can do propagation. Now, that's a question. You get one of these plants. Do you need a male and a female plant in order to get fruit?
That is a good question. I didn't find anything saying that you had to have male and female.
Okay. That'd be, I'd want to check that out before I went and purchased one.
True, true.
Yeah,
more than likely we won't be growing this fruit, but you never know. Maybe one of these days we will. Most of the fruit that we'll be growing on our land will be things that can... Most of the food that we will be growing on our land will be things that will grow in our zone without us having to babysit it.
Right.
But we will have some stuff growing in the greenhouse over the winter, but it'll still, again, be things that would normally be hardy or that will survive in our zone. We'll just be growing it through the winter.
Yeah, the exception to that would be things like sweet potato.
No, sweet potatoes grow in our zone. They just don't grow in our zone through the winter.
They don't survive winter here.
Right. And that's why we would have to grow them in a greenhouse, because they will survive winter in a greenhouse.
Yep.
Where this egg fruit, it would be iffy.
Right.
That it would survive the winter in a greenhouse.
Oh, wow.
Because we would have to make sure that it is a stable, constant temperature. If we had stable, constant, regulation on our temperature, then it wouldn't be a problem. But we don't have that because we're not on the grid.
Here's one for you to look up. It's a related plant. It's called Mammy Sapote. And it looks like it's got even more nutrients in it than the egg fruit.
That's why the Asians are smarter than we are.
They got better food. Well, that said, you really can't get nutrients into a plant that's not in the soil. And, we here in America, and I assume worldwide, where they do the same practices of farming, the soil is depleted of nutrients. It's not that the nutrients aren't there. It's just all the bioavailable nutrients have already been sucked up. And there's no organic matter in the soil to break down and free up the remaining minerals.
Well, yeah, that's why you need weeds. You got to let... And that's why they say, what is it, the year of the Jubilee, every 7 years you have to let your land rest and recoup, let the weeds burrow down deep into the earth and break up any hard pans or whatever and bring nutrients up from deep down in the earth, because the weeds, their roots are deep, 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 deep. But trees, their roots are deep, too. The roots are just as deep as the trees are tall.
Very much.
So trees might be a different story. They will send their roots down deep and bring up nutrients. So trees are, I guess, maybe also a good source of nutrients for the earth.
Right. Tree. You've got to wait, what, 30 years for the tree to get big enough to pull the nutrients from way, way down deep?
However deep it needs to be and however tall, yes.
And then another 5 to 10 years for that tree to break down into soil after you chop it down.
Well, not necessarily. It sheds fruit and leaves every year.
Yeah, this is true. And that's what I've been collecting under our, we have what we call a kitchen tree. It's also what some people would call a mother tree. It is a beautiful, healthy oak tree. And underneath it is just nutrient-rich soil. It's almost unbelievable how nutrient-rich that soil is. I've been under it mowing up the poison ivy and then raking up all the resultant mulch and using that for potting soil. And it's just light and fluffy and nearly black. And, you know, it has a good texture, a good smell. You know, I suspect everything I plant in it is going to take off like gangbusters.
You want to know where to find the best potting soil?
Tell me.
In your rain gutters.
This is true. And that's fallen leaves.
90% of it's leaves.
Yeah, the 10% of it is the grit from your roof.
But hey, that's made out of rock.
Which provides the aeration that soil needs.
Exactly. I mean, wow. You can't do much better than that. If you want it, I mean, start a gutter cleaning service. Get paid to collect high-end soil.
There you go. And don't throw it on the ground.
Oh, put hell no.
A little bag and dispose of it for free.
There you go.
Right into your garden.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd probably be the only gutter service that shows up with shop vacs and sucks all the stuff out.
That's funny. But true. Yeah. I mean, hey. I'd show up with bags. I mean, depending on where the gutters, you know, are, I might drop it on the ground and then shovel it up and put it in a bag. And take it with me.
But, well, yeah. When I cleaned Ron's gutters, I threw it at him.
But I mean, you don't have to just get it from gutters. I mean, basically just, you know, these people, these crazy people, they bag their leaves up in the cities. And they put it out for the trash man to haul it off. And in the country, they rake it up into piles and they burn it. That's good topsoil.
Rake it up into a black trash bag. Pour in, you know, if you got a 30-gallon trash bag, maybe put a gallon or two of water in it. Seal it tight and throw it in a nice sunny location and let it steep. For, you know, 2-3 weeks. You know, reek to all hell when you crack it open, but there'll be some of the blackest, beautiful, rotten leaves you can find. You know? And it probably won't reek by then. It'll probably be done with all the process by then, but, you know, they'll rot down. In all that heat, with all that moisture, they'll break down. They'll literally turn into manure. Don't even have to pass them through an animal's gullet to get your manure for your fertilizer.
Well, that or it'll take a little longer. But, you know,
make you a little compost plot, and, you know, box, make like a little box or something and put them all in there. They'll break down and you just shovel it up because the worms and the bugs, they'll go there. You won't have to worry about the bugs being in your house. They'll be like, ooh, this is perfect right here. You know, make you a little compost section in the back corner of your yard away from the house. Put all your leaves, you know, get a small chipper, chip all your limbs that fall out of your tree or that you trim out of your tree. Throw your your grass in there. Throw any food waste in there. Man alive, you'll have the best soil money could buy.
Pretty much.
Yes. Throw your gutter dirt in there. You know. Put everything that's biodegradable in there. Even paper. They'll eat that. Cardboard. Bugs will tear that up too.
Worms love cardboard and newspaper. Just absolutely love it. Somebody said, but what about all the toxic ink and stuff like that? Well, you know, what better way to get rid of that toxin than to let a worm eat it and convert it?
Oh, yeah, they like it.
Yeah,
it's not like we're going to eat the worms anyways.
No, but we will eat the stuff that grows in the worm poo.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... You know, if the worm converts the stuff into something that's bioavailable for the plants, great. You know?
That's it. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, for example, one of my ex-girlfriends, whenever I first started dating her, her yard was brown like a desert. And I would put down food in the yard. I'd put down paper, cardboard, any kind of biodegradable paper matter that I could find, and food waste I would throw in the yard. And I'd run it over with the lawnmower and mulch it. And the yard looked tacky for a little while. But a year later, it was green and lush. We had all kinds of good food, wild edibles that were growing in the yard, and David Ray and I were out there eating her yard.
And
only took a year.
She was freaking out over the paper and stuff. And
not really. Maybe a little bit at first.
Yeah. I think she actually freaked out more after you broke up with her because she couldn't keep with the city regulations for having the lawn mowed.
Oh, well, yeah, now she had to mow her yard.
You bastard.
She didn't have to mow her yard before because it was dead.
You left her the gift that kept on giving. A green lawn.
Pretty much.
All right, folks. That's pretty much it for tonight.
All right, yeah, stay tuned. Like I said, I'm working on the website now, so you should be able to hear this podcast soon. We got a WordPress. We got a video site if you have some videos you want to upload that are on topic, then feel free to upload them. Let's see. We have a Discord. It's like a chat channel that you can go to. That's on the website. Now, freefoodandmedicine.org, and I will be adding other things to it as well. We want to make this more or less an open source, non-centralized website for us to gather and share information on free food and medicine, God's medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, freefoodandmedicine.org. And check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com. Or if you want to give me credit, go to freefoodandmedicine.net. All right, good night.
All right, good night, folks.